Coming up on Patriots This Week.
That was another wild one.
Bounces it off the turf. It's hopping toward the 40. The ball is loose.
They got it.
The Patriots have it.
They got it.
The Patriots have it. Throws to the end zone. Catches made. Touchdown. Danny Amendola. And the kick is no good. The Patriots win.
I've seen it all.
A thrilling victory.
That was awesome. That was awesome. What a game.
Coupled with an agonizing defeat.
We all feel sorry for Rob if he's, you know, but... you know, I don't think anyone feels sorry for the Patriots.
Now this season of fantastic finishes heads to Miami for a free hat and t-shirt game.
You know, not every week you get to play for a championship. You
better get ready for it. It's going to be hot down there.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
In the National Football League, there are no moral victories. There are some painful ones, though, and count the Patriots' 27-26 win over the Browns last Sunday as one of those. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak. Joining me as usual, former Patriots tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What's up, Wiggs?
So.
Former linebacker Matt Chatham. Matt.
What's up, Zoe?
We saw Rob Gronkowski not play with this team for the first 6 weeks of the season. We saw this offense labor. We saw them not put up points. But we saw them win football games, and they found a way to win. Since Rob's return, they've been one of your higher scoring offenses in the league, all the way up from 20th up to 2nd. We've seen this offense produce points in the red zone. You're not going to have this guy the rest of the year. How do they replace Rob Gronkowski? Wiggy, we'll start with you.
I don't think you can replace Gronkowski. I think the biggest...
production part.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing is now you're going to have a complementary group of weapons where everybody's going to have to contribute. Well, that's going to be Tompkins, Dobson, Edelman, Amendola, Vereen, Ridley in the running game. Everybody's going to have to contribute, and I think that's what you're going to have to do to try to at least get some of that production that you lose from Gronkowski, but I don't think you can ultimately replace that.
I'm agreeing with Wiggy here that you just have to find it from a lot of different places, and we don't really have to sort of theorize of how it'll happen. He left at the 5:23 mark from the rest of that game. We saw how they did. They put up 27 points, and they did it through going to a lot of different people. They leaned harder on Vereen. Amendola became more involved. Edelman became an X and became a seam guy. He was all over the place. Blunt, they relied on a little more. You saw more Ridley. The point is, it's going to have to come from a lot of places, but it's certainly doable.
I think there's a chance you might be able to take Shane Vereen and Steven Ridley and put both those guys on the field at the same time, and you say, well, why would you have two backs? Well, in essence, I think Vereen could kind of move to that Hernandez, Edelman-type slot role. You move them all around. For Josh McDaniels, he has some pieces now. Wiggy, you look at Vereen, 17 targets last week, 12 catches. He becomes the new go-to guy for Brady, correct?
I think he becomes a guy that you look at that Brady can now rely on in a couple different areas. I don't want to necessarily put him in the Hernandez category because I think he does. He's a little bit different than Hernandez. Where when you see Vereen, a lot of his passes that he might catch, they'll line him up out wide where he's the single receiver. He's almost closer to being like Gronkowski, where you put him on the single receiver side, see if you can get one-on-one coverage, run a go route. You run wheel routes with him. You run him out of the backfield. So I think when you look at Vereen and how he's going to now contribute, especially in this passing game, I think you'll see him in multiple positions. But he's going to be a guy that they're going to rely heavily on, but they're also going to have to rely on all those other guys that we said.
The issue is now that the margin for error is closer, and I think that's important because, you know, Gronk is a tree and Vereen is a bush, and it's harder to hit a smaller target. Yep. And when we're talking about the difficulty of hitting other bigger people, it becomes difficult with Vereen. Although he's an incredible matchup and we've shown how productive he can be, it's tough for him, you know, on a downfield throw. It's a harder throw for Tom. He's got to be laser, and Tom's the one guy that can handle that job. But there are definitely other places I think he's going to need to go. If you lean on that guy for 15 targets, those are 15 really difficult throws, unless we're just talking checkdowns and screens.
So T.J. Ward is, what, 5'10", 211 pounds. Gronkowski's 6'7". He's an aircraft carrier. He's going down the seam. And you're the cerebral guy on the set. You've studied hits. Are hits different for defenders taking guys' legs out as they were 5'10", even going back 15 years ago?
No.
Do you have any issues with how he tackled him?
No. Physics hasn't changed. I mean, like, just because, you know, people were suing more people, nothing has changed in physics and how people hit. If you've never hit someone 60 pounds heavier than you, your opinion's irrelevant, quite frankly. I mean, this is something that you can't explain by, oh, if you'd have taken an arrow, you could have hit that spot, and that spot. That's how life works. This stuff moves at light speed. And the mass of a guy that's that much lighter hitting him doesn't work. Think of a really tall object like a log, right? You hit at the top, it goes goes this way, hit the bottom, goes this way, hit in the middle, don't move it. And so people that are sort of intimating that, oh, if you just hit them in the chest, well, you're going to go like a pinball. And it doesn't work that way. And especially if you're going to fine me $30,000, especially if you're going to possibly hurt my team with penalties, I have to go or I have to go.
Gronkowski's momentum has taken him down, down the seam route. So when he catches the ball and he now tucks it, he has a full head of steam. It's completely different, like catching a flat route versus hitting somebody going down the
Here's
seam
the
route.
Solution. It's not whether or not helmets touch. We need to get away from this idea that that's somehow egregious and unusual. That's normal. Mm-hmm. It's to be expected. When it's a penalty is when you're not going for the ball. If the ball's high and you're competing on the ball, expect that hit. If the ball's at his feet and you're diving at your head, that's a headshot. Yeah. This other thing where we're somehow not expecting people's heads to click, that's BS. Yeah.
We could sit here and we could talk about the play forever, but we got to move on to the game, guys. The bigger story here, again, the Patriots and a miraculous finish. Two touchdowns in 61 seconds. Wiggy, what's going on with the mindset of this team? Why do they have the ability to do this and not be counted out?
When the Patriots were successful a couple years ago, last year, they said, you know, we're going to come out, first series we get, we're going to go no huddle, we're going to out-temple the defense, we're going to now set the pace of the football game. We haven't seen that in this Patriots offense unless they're down by 17, 24 points. Now they start to go with that up-tempo, no huddle, put Brady back there in the shotgun, let him pick and choose the receivers he wants to throw to. I think, to me, they need to get back to that early in the football game.
Is that because they have a whole new receiving core?
I don't know, but they did it in Tampa Bay in the preseason with the same group of wide receivers. Okay. I don't know why they haven't, you know, elected to go to it earlier in games.
How much, Matt, did you, being a super special teams type guy, appreciate what Gostkowski did? Not once in practice could you script that any better, and the timing of it and how it happened.
I think this is as much as an incredible execution by Steven, and that guy's almost the MVP of this team, quite frankly, because you can look at the end of several games. If he doesn't,
oh, he's going to Pro Bowl this year. He's a Pro Bowl kicker.
He has been exceptional. But what's cool in that play, and give Scotty O'Brien a ton of credit here, he keeps them spread. So the defender's rule is you stay spread when they say spread. And for whatever reason, you watch over the nose of the ball, it's just Steven and one guy. And that guy isn't even fronting Steven. He's shaded a little bit. So the idea that you get these guys on the move to the middle of the field, everyone's not in a great position to field the ball. Now, in an event that they had just simply huddled and done the little dribble, it wouldn't have happened. It was great execution, great design.
Does it concern you at all that Jason Campbell threw for over 350 yards, three scores, had a quarterback rating of over 120?
Yeah, obviously it does concern me. When you,
they're
starting to give up a lot of yardage, especially in that passing game. But I think a lot has to do with you start to look at guys hurt in the back end. Tlaib's not playing at 100%. It is what it is. You know, Gregory's banged up. He's now trying to get back in the mix of things. I always find it funny when people say, well, it's not about yardage. But what yardage means is you get more cracks in the red zone. So if you're able to give up a lot of yards, that just means that the opponent has more opportunity in the red zone. Now, granted, you might be able to hold them out of the red zone. But sooner or later, that whole bend but don't break, you bend it long enough, guess what? It's going to break.
All right, guys, good stuff. We got to turn the page on Cleveland because there was a lot of weather this past weekend, and you would think that would keep the scoring down, right? Well, no. Plus, there's a heck of a mess going on down in Dallas, and we got to talk about the Washington Redskins. That's next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Steven Gostkowski. Now in his eighth season, the 29-year-old is having his best year, hitting on 94% of his field goal attempts, including 5 of 6 from 50 yards or more. And the 6'1", 215-pounder perfectly executed the Pats' first successful onside kick in nearly 20 years against the Browns. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. So if you flipped on the TV and watched some of the games across the league, guys, a lot of weather issues, you would think that touchdowns would be down because of the snow, the wind, the rain. 104 touchdowns this past weekend scored. Wiggy, why are there so many touchdowns being scored?
Well, I think it's just the evolution of the game. You know, you throw the rules in there. Defensively, they can't be as physical. There's that whole grace period. There's a lot more pass interferences. And then you just look at the offenses. The offensive coordinators come into the league. They want to throw the football. They want to be able to put a lot of points up. They feel like, you know, that whole 3 yards in a cloud of dust thing is out the window. And it's just the way the league has worked. It's the evolution of the league. And, you know, that's part of the game.
This is the preeminent guy here to answer that question. Bad weather football. Like, you know, getting a lot of catches when the defender doesn't know where you're going. You have an advantage. You can go out there and shake a guy. And we saw guys like LeSean McCoy had one of the greatest games that he's had as an Eagle, just gashing people because the defender is on skates.
All right, we got to talk about what's going on down in Washington, D.C., because there are reports, and I don't know if you guys believe the reports, ESPN said that Mike Shanahan, last year prior to the playoff game, he was ready to quit.
Some of the staffers have come out and said that they're in that office and that nothing was cleaned out. Yeah. So that story's murky to me. This is just a team that ain't playing very well. And the coach hasn't gotten through to his guys. RG3 has regressed. I don't care about the knee. His completion percentages are down. The yards are down. The touchdowns are down. All the stuff that's good is down. The defense has played considerably less well. So I think at the end of the day, it's usually a football answer to a football problem.
Joe Gibbs, coach there. Steve Spurrier, right? Mike Shanahan, who is one of the most well-respected NFL head coaches, can't get it done there. Do you think Daniel Snyder has a picture of himself above his dinner table? Well, do you think he sits there and looks at it and there's a spotlight on it?
It's very simple. When you have owners like Daniel Snyder, Jerry Jones.
Oh, we'll get to him.
When you have owners like that want to be part of the football program, want to be part of the organization, and then you take a head coach that has the type of track record that Shanahan has or Joe Gibbs has, that has won Super Bowls, and you put those two guys in the room and you say, okay, I want you to be my head coach, but I'm still going to jump in because it's my team. That's not going to work. The head coach, if he's the head coach / GM, has to do that job. If you're the owner, you have to do that job. When the titles start intertwining, that's when you get all this problem.
All right, you look at the Dallas Cowboys, and when Bill Parcells was there, he didn't want Jerry anywhere around, obviously. You got DeMarcus Ware there, Tony Romo. A lot of these guys are Parcells hangovers that are having success down there. But yet Jerry said, it was the worst year of my life. I owned the team. I wasn't around it. I didn't have fun. He said, I can make $10 million in an oil transaction, and nobody would care about it. But if I cut a player or signed a player, everybody knew about it. Is Jerry Jones good for the National Football League, Matt?
Big D, big personalities, big owner. I mean, it fits. I mean, they can't all be like up here. But I think the idea of having different personalities isn't bad. Wouldn't want to be my team, but it doesn't hurt the league.
But I think the problem is this, though. When you have an owner like that, it's the same thing in Washington. You got the player who sides with the owner, and then you got the other player who sides with the coach. And there's a lot of conflict right there. And then if you have a high-profile player that's siding with the owner, he's basically like, okay, what's this coach going
to
tell me?
And Jason Garrett will have a job for life there because he listens to everything Jerry tells him to do.
Yeah, and he basically becomes the puppet.
Yes.
You know, this is what I need you to do. This is what I want you to tell the guys. And if there's an issue, hey, you come back and you tell me.
All right, guys, good stuff. We got to talk about the Miami Dolphins and the Patriots' chances. That's next when Patriots This Week continues. All right, we've been watching this Patriots offense for some time now. So we're heading down to Miami. Now, one of the ways this team can lose is if they don't protect the quarterback. So let's take a look at the pocket presence. Go right here. Freeze it right here. Here's your pocket. That's where Tom Brady's going to be sitting. So right here, Olivia Vernon. Watch the pressure that this guy gets. Your pass set right here by Nate Solder. Critical in this game. Go ahead and roll the tape. So Nate's got to be able to drop that step, but don't give the underneath. Vernon gets great leverage, gets him going one way, and then watch his ability to seek the quarterback. And that's the last thing I want to see, number 12 getting hit down here. Let's advance a little bit more. He's on the outside. This is just one-on-one stuff, so stop right there. If you're starting to struggle with him, what you can do, here's the center, Ryan Wendell. Now, what he would do is check the protection this way, meaning the line will slide to help Nate Solder. Go ahead and roll the tape. Because when you look at the one-on-one stuff, Vernon's ability to get him going and then push it back inside, very much like Rob Ninkovich and Chandler Jones when we see those guys get it cranked up. And last look at it right here, down here on the edge, this ability to go get the quarterback. This is what scares me down in Miami on the road. Pressure number 12, and with Rob Gronkowski not there, you know they will be sitting in coverage. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And guys, the Miami Dolphins started the season 3-0, looked pretty good. And then they slid four games. And then they had the whole Martin incognito incident. And you surprised that they're 7-6 and they have a winning record, the Miami Dolphins?
I am. I am surprised a little bit. But you know what? You look at the AFC, you look at a lot of these teams, the conference isn't as good as what we've seen in the past. And you can have a team like Miami that could be sitting there 7-6. But it's one of those games you look at, the Patriots always kind of struggle down there. Even when I played, it's always like one of those games that you play in Miami. It's, for some reason, it's one of those games that you struggle.
Well, it's a divisional opponent. It's heat. I mean, you know, this team gets no credit for going on the road because, ooh, it's a hot, warm weather team. Matt, they went into Pittsburgh last week in that snow and handled Pittsburgh pretty damn well.
Yeah, they did. And I think it's they should be lauded for the performance, quite frankly. I think Joe Philbin's done a great job. I'd almost put him in that. In the event that they make a playoff based on his locker room being sabotaged by that one guy, I think he should be commended for keeping these guys together. I think, if anything, it emboldened that locker room quite a bit because they played together really well and sort of circled the wagons.
The touchdown-interception ratio, it's still not great. It's 20 touchdowns, 14 picks. You know, they could get Tannehill to turn his football over. When you watch Tannehill play, is he as athletic as good as everybody says?
Well, I think he's a good player, but I think Miami's like the rest of those teams that are sitting there at 7-6, 6-7. They're inconsistent. And at times, Tannehill looks good, but then at other times, he's very
It reminds me of an athletic version of Brad Johnson back in the day with Tampa, but that guy won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so. Well, and I played with Brad Johnson. He was a little bit more heady as far as the game.
Last year, we were hyped. It was Russell Wilson was this new guy's great, and he has played great. But RG3 hasn't played that well. Kaepernick has been really, really up and down. Tannehill, I think, has risen. I think he's done a pretty solid job. And I think one guy we got to mention that fans need to know about is this guy, Charles Clay. He wears a 40 number, so it throws you off and makes you think you got a fullback back there. He's really he's a tight end, and he's a physical dude. He plays pretty well. I enjoy watching him. He's a guy that even when they had the other tight end from last year, they let go and go to Kansas City.
Fasano.
He showed up a lot. Clay did. And now they're leaning on him quite a bit more.
You know
he's a guy that could hurt
Keith Byers.
That's
exactly who he is. That's
quick
exactly.
Little steps, quick
but,
little
I mean,
steps.
But when you look at him, and Matt brings up a great point, when you look at him, they use him in multiple positions. They hand him the ball off. They have him at fullback. They have him at H-back. They have him at tight end. That's what Keith Byers did.
All right, Matt, what do you make of their defense? Olivier Vernon, he has like 11.5 sacks. You worry about him, then you got Cameron Wake on the other side.
Yeah, we're about the edges, and I think it crept up back last week for the Patriots. I think they need to win on that edge. Soldier, who's been an all-pro some weeks and other weeks has had some struggles. Last week was more of a down week. And now with Gronk out, not there, not leaving into the pattern, do we see more with Matt Mulligan staying in to block on edges? Vitek had some problems with Kruger last week. So they've got two good guys in Cameron and Vernon that can really pressure you. So how they figure out the protections now that Gronk's not there, I think will be a big story.
All right, guys, good stuff coming up next. Our picks, so don't turn that channel. Patriots This Week continues next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. Celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
The fantasy playoffs are underway. So that's why it's even more important to get the lowdown. Start Green Bay's wide receiver, James Jones. He's going up against Dallas and the NFL's worst secondary on a short week. Even if it's Matt Flynn at quarterback, Jones should be able to get some big fantasy points. But sit Vincent Jackson against the solid pass defense of the 49ers. The Bucs wideout has not fared well against the league's better secondaries. And this week's sleeper is Ryan Tannehill. The Miami QB has been very consistent lately, and the injuries to the Patriots' defense could add up to a big fantasy week for him.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time now for our picks and our game changers. Start with Matt Chatham. You're up first.
Well, game changer, I'm going to go with Stephen Ridley. I think he's back. I think they're going to lean on the running game to create the pass.
That's they were going to cut
him. That's
the
best formula they have with him. But, yeah, I'm not going to cut him. And I'm going to go with a score of 30-20.
Oh, Patriots. Wow. What do you got, Wiggy?
Yeah, I'm going to go score Patriots 31-27. My game changer is going to be Shane Vereen. I think you're going to start to see them rely on him a lot more. So he's going to be the guy I would be watching.
31-24, I have the Patriots. They win by a touchdown on the road, and it's a hat and t-shirt game. These guys know all about the hat and t-shirt games. They win the AFC East. Game changer, Danny Amendola. I'm sitting here every week, cross the fingers. It's the breakout game. Somebody's got to step up. I think it's going to be Danny. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.
Snap of the spot. The kick on its way from 58 yards away. And the kick is no good. The Patriots win.
I've seen it all.